Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday. It is 4:30, and that means it is time for Broad Appeal. I've got an incredibly fascinating legislator that we're going to talk to in just a moment here on the program, but I wanted to try to squeeze a couple of callers in. Jack from Merrimack, thanks for hanging out on the phone line. What you got for us?
Well, I have a list of a few things I'd like to read.
They're fairly short.
Okay, pick two, because I got a guest waiting for us. Pick two, Jack. Go ahead, sir.
Well, charismatic speaker, crafty politician, distinct physical appearance, utterly lawless, selfish, ambitious, egomaniac, greedy materialist, controlling, and I could go on and on, but... who does this sound like that we know? These, by the way, are characteristics of the Antichrist as listed in the Bible. Now, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I have found the references. So
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, I get it, Jack. I just want to say this. I'm never going to call anybody an Antichrist. I personally have taken pains to never call anything evil. I try not to name call. And that's for very particular reasons. I don't think it advances our discussion much at all. I don't think it's helpful to the overall dialogue. But I will not shy away from, you know, when something quacks, has webbed feet and feathers. I'm going to simply call that a duck. And to me, I've always drawn a very clear line between arguing about the stuff and calling names, because I don't think it's helpful. I also think at base, our elected officials are reflections of us. We, the voters, bear the ultimate responsibility for what is going on in this country. With that, folks, and if you're on the lines, we've got some great guests coming up in the 5 o'clock hour that's going to give us some more time to engage with callers. So folks, hang out on those lines. Feel free to get your thoughts together. We're going to be talking about how to bridge the divide, what the latest Marquette poll says about political violence, our perception of some of our key institutions, and we're going to be joined by a UW professor at the top of the hour who's an expert in voter engagement. Civic dialogue. Oh my goodness, that actually used to be a thing. So we're going to open it up. We're going to explore how do we make this better? Because it has to get better. I don't want us to be in the same place in 4 years. It would be absolutely soul crushing. With that, and again, with this plea to everyone that our elected officials on both sides of the aisle are in many ways a reflection of us collectively, I'm extraordinarily happy and excited to talk with my next Broad Appeal guest. She is Representative Brienne Brown of Wisconsin Assembly District 46. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Brienne. It's so lovely to have you with us, Representative.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Now, I'll just say this to you. If you might want to check your camera input or make sure your camera is on, we'd love to be able to see you because we got folks watching on YouTube. Also, you can watch on Instagram, Facebook, as well as, what am I forgetting? Instagram, Facebook, I think maybe X. Just search for Maggie Dawn Show. So, Representative, if you can check your camera, that would be great. But let's jump into it. I wanted to start with a little bit of your family's background. My technical producer, Jacob, had me do a little play on words. This segment we call Broad Appeal, but you are a broad from abroad in this segment. You had an incredibly fascinating background with your dad, who was in the Air Force, served in Vietnam. You ended up moving to Iran with your folks. Your dad was a military attaché to the Shah of Iran. Quite an experience, quite an introduction to public service. What was that like for you as a young woman?
It was exciting. Both my parents were Vietnam veterans, and my mom was a combat nurse. So we were one of those rare families where we lived overseas, and both parents were there. you know, because they were both colonels in the Air Force. So my dad was he was definitely a cowboy. He was a fighter pilot. He drove around with an orange car with the doors welded shut, and and he would put a flak jacket on me to take me to Montessori, and people shot at us, and he thought he made it look like a game or seem like a game. I mean, I thought it was just this big exciting thing. It wasn't until, you know, later on when I realized, oh, I was in a lot of danger, and my dad just made it seem fun. So.
That's absolutely incredible. And it just brings to mind for me the fact that we have folks, not just in our military, not just in the State Department, not just in the Foreign Service, but at all levels of government, that truly show up every day. They give of themselves. They are public servants in the most basic definition of the word, and they come from all kinds of political backgrounds and life experiences. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have a big variety of folks working in government with all kinds of different viewpoints. It works best that way. Tell us a little bit, Brienne, if you will, what brought you into public service? Specifically, what encouraged you? What was the catalyst for you running for elected office?
So, I mean, it was definitely a journey. I wanted to be a war journalist when I grew up. I went into journalism. The journalism I looked at was, you know, it was geopolitical journalism. Mm-hmm. So, like, I covered authoritarian regimes, populist leaders. I looked at the backsliding of democracy in other countries like Orban and Hungary and Putin and Russia and Kagame and Rwanda. And, yes. You know, journalism doesn't really pay the bills, but it is a transferable skill. So I moved into chronic disease epidemiology and studied childhood lead poisoning and pesticide exposure and water contamination. I was kind of a sciencey kid. So I moved into that, but I was always thinking about how I could be a civil servant of some sort. You know, journalism is one part of our... Mm-hmm. It keeps our government accountable, right? Yeah. And then I wanted to be a scientist and try to go into that public health sphere as well. So when I did sort of, you know, actually get involved in politics in a different way, it was when I lived in Whitewater and had started a farmer's market, and, you know, was on the library board, and some people came up to me and said, you know, you should be on Common Council. And after about 6 years of that, that's when somebody said, you know, you're really good at talking to people and kind of coming to consensus. Maybe you should try for something bigger. So that's kind of why I'm where I am now.
Brienne, let me just say this. And folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking this half hour with Wisconsin Representative Brienne Brown. She's of Assembly District 43. A couple things jump out immediately to me, Brienne. The first is that you come from a very diverse background, that you've studied and investigated and invested, tried to gain expertise in a lot of different areas. I think that that diversity of background, just like the diversity of thought that I spoke of moments ago, again, is the best of what we hope for, both in elected officials, but in public servants and civil servants writ large. I think that the more experiences people can have that they bring to bear when they're in service of some kind, the more likely people are to listen to others, right? To engage, to want to hear what experts have to say. And you hit on two things. You're talking about lead poisoning, epidemiology, and studying authoritarians. Could it be more topical, Brienne, than what we have today? Just between you and I and all those wonderful folks listening, I actually today started to make a list of sound cuts of our current president talking about some of those very authoritarians that you were talking about, and oftentimes glowing language, including the current president of Egypt, which I don't get why he's praising him. Whole story for another day. Let's just talk very briefly about what you think the role of state government might be, given your background in public health, and given that we've got the biggest measles outbreak our country has seen in 30 years, truly shocking. At the same time, we've got a head of DHS that peddles in basically the fringe of science that has substituted one-off qualitative case reviews for good quantitative scientific method, peer-reviewed mass of published scientific studies. In this moment, what do you think the role of the state government should be from a pretty apolitical perspective in trying to inform the public protect public health and basically help us all be healthier together as a state?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I went into epidemiology in the first place, because I saw that science journalists weren't necessarily covering science well. They'd be like, oh, butter's good for you today, and now butter's bad for you. And I'm like, wait a second. Have you ever heard of a meta study? Have you really dug into like years of research that's been done? And that is how science is. I mean, science truly, if it's being done right, and you know, and usually it's the civil servants who are doing it right. I mean, they're trying to prove themselves wrong. There's the null hypothesis in science, and you're supposed to say, I think this, but now I'm going to try to prove myself wrong from all different aspects of this. And that's good science, because you're constantly trying to make sure that you're seeing what your mistakes are and learning from that. And I think the role of state government is honestly to allow that space for scientists to do the work. When I was working in lead poisoning and pesticide poisoning, the state government, I was working in Texas at the time, but the state government cut longitudinal research funding, which longitudinal means you're studying it over 20 or 30 years. And they were like, why are you taking so long to study pesticide poisoning? And we're like, do you realize somebody gets brain cancer 40 years later? We have to study this yes. over a period of time. And we have to make the calls, and we have to do, you know, the numbers and do the statistical analysis, and it's going to take a while. So I think that's the role of state government, is to actually trust their scientists and their state agencies and their experts, because they've been taking, they went to school for this, and then they are basically devoting tons and tons of time to make sure they're gathering the data and proving themselves wrong constantly, right? If they're coming forward with a rule or, you know, a suggestion, they've studied it. And if they have to change it, they will, right? Because they're constantly looking at whether or not it actually applies next year or next week.
Yeah, it's remarkable to me, you know, the CDC's vaccine panel, their review panel, just changed the vaccine schedules, which RFK basically promised to not do in his confirmation hearing. I don't know if they'll maybe crack open an investigation for lying to Congress by RFK. Never mind, they won't do that. But what it brought up to me, and I talked about this on this program, was that I was shocked. I listened to hours of this hearing over 2 days. I heard supposed or purported experts elevate into the discussion their own family's one-off experience. It was shocking. I heard them refer to studies that were point-in-time qualitative case review, meaning there was no testing. It wasn't right. longitudinal over a long period of time. It was a researcher that basically just gathered some descriptions of cases that might raise some interesting questions. That's what those studies are used for, to raise the questions that then are subjected to scientific study over a long period of time. Right. I was shocked by this. What do you think you can do specifically in state government to help restore public trust in our public health officials? And we got just about a minute left. We'll come back to this on the other side, but let's get you started here.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, you know, allow your experts to make the rules. I mean, they are looking at all of the data, right? And they're looking at years and years worth of data. I mean, qualitative is important. Anecdotal is important. It can inform the data to a degree, but honestly, to a degree, right?
Yeah.
It's just super important to allow people to look at all of that data themselves and figure out what the real answer is, and not just go, oh, but my sister, like that doesn't work. That's not scientific.
It was mind blowing. Stay put, everybody. We're going to continue this discussion about the role of ego for elected officials when they're dealing with experts with Representative Brienne Brown.